wounded on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Welcome to Christian Worldview News with Pastor Butch Paugh.
All righty, folks, we are back and hope you're ready to get into the lesson today. The videos you saw, I understand Phil said that wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but the Lord had that in mind. What was being said really ties in today's lesson, and I didn't know that that was going to be showing. And Phil didn't know that was going to be showing, but God knew that was going to be showing. I'm doing a teaching today entitled Leaving a Godly Heritage. Leaving a Godly Heritage. And I mentioned another segment about a guest I had on Wednesday night, Pastor Chuck Christmar. They mentioned an old song that I hadn't heard for many years. I'm going to read the song to you. Then I'm going to tie it, if I can, tie it into the lesson. It's an old, old hymn, been around many, many years, entitled Trust and Obey. Mm-hmm. I've sung the song, and I've realized some of the meaning, and at least had a surface meaning. But when I read it again, I realized there's more to it than just what I was singing. So many people I know that are believers, say they're believers, I assume they are, say they're Christians, walk around miserable, disheartened, frustrated, some of them bitter, and this song answered a question for that. I'm going to read part of it to you. I want you to listen to what it says. When you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, while the glory He sheds on our way, while we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Now pay attention, to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. If you're not happy walking with Christ, there's something wrong in your life. That doesn't mean that circumstances make you feel good and happy. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking about a joy and a contentment and a peace that only Christ can give. And that only comes through obedience to Christ. You're not going to live your own way and walk at peace with Christ. That's impossible. The Bible and the Word of God is not like a buffet in a restaurant. You walk up and get what you want. You don't get to pick and choose out of the Word of God what's right and wrong. It's written to you very clearly, is not Phil?
It sure is.
And the only way you can be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. I'm going to go ahead and finish reading that. Now the shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Isn't it beautiful, Phil? Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Lord, oh, for grace to trust you more. Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. I've sung that song, and it never really hit me until I read it and what it really says to us. Folks, if you walk as a believer and you're walking in misery all the time and downtrodden and disheartened, you're not walking in obedience to Christ. I'm sorry. This song says it pretty clearly. To be happy in Jesus, you got to trust. That's faith. And obey. Comments, Phil, and see. Thank you.
Yeah. I would say that, we all got to look at ourselves. And like, what percentage of the time are you consumed with concern? And what percentage of the time are you hanging on the good news of the gospel? Good news. It doesn't say bad news.
Right.
It doesn't say mediocre news. It says good news. You know what I mean? So we all have, especially as you get closer to the end times, it gets harder and harder to focus where we need to focus the most, you know?
Sure.
And I know that's a problem for me. I mean, you know, but if you look around, God's in, first of all, He's in control. Mm-hmm. And if you can't find something beautiful that He made, whether it be nature or a child or so many things, so many blessings He's given us, you know. And so I just realized that we have a video that I'm supposed to show. So
that's
I've
right.
Gotta,
yeah, I'll give you mention
that. I got to cue it up so okay. I'll let you know when I'm ready to show that piece of joy.
Yes.
That we need to have.
That was coming up in a minute. I'm glad you brought that. I was going to bring it up in a minute. Okay, well, he gets up ready, folks. A video, it's very short. I want to actually play through twice because it is very short. I want to bring forth a point in this because we're going to teach on leaving a godly heritage. And I want to read first in Psalms 127. If you want to go with me. Then we're going to go to Proverbs. We're going to do some moving around here today, but I want to read this. You know, knowing something and applying something are two different things. To know the Word of God and know it's true and have it in your head and even be somewhat in your heart is vital, and that's so important. But once you realize that the depth and the meaning of His Word, and you apply it more to it internally in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, it enlightens a world around you. Whenever you think that you know everything, you become a fool. In the Word of God, you'll grow constantly. But until you are mature in the Spirit, you'll never understand the meaning of what's happening in this world. Until you understand Christ and who He is, understand His Word and what He's teaching, you'll never be able to comprehend what's happening in the physical world. Everything we see manifested in the flesh in this world is generated from the spiritual side of man in the spiritual world. You have to understand that the spiritual world is more real than this temporal world we're living right now. This world's going to be burned. It's going to be dissolved. This body's going to rot in the grave one day. Everything we see in this physical world comes from the spiritual side, whether it be good or evil. Is that true, Joe?
Definitely.
So these are things, folks, that we need to consider and contemplate as we go into this lesson today. And I want you to understand that what you're doing every day you're alive, whether you realize it or not, whether you're Christian, non-Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, I don't care who you are, you're planting seeds in people's lives, especially your children's lives, whether it be to the good or to the bad. But you're planting seeds. Are you sowing good seed or are you sowing evil seed? Oh, I don't know. I did this ignorantly. I want to tell you what, folks. Ignorance will destroy you. So once you understand that what you're doing in your life, whether you're young or old, in between, whether you're a parent or not, everything you do in this world influences somebody else. Is that clear so far? You don't realize every word you speak makes a difference, do you? You don't realize what you're doing. I really get so uptight and tense when I see a child talking back to his parent or a parent calling a child stupid.
Because that child will grow up thinking he is.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, even before I understood what that meant spiritually, it bothered me then too. But now that I understand the Word of God, I understand that what we're saying can condemn or uplift. And as soon as Phil gets out of video, we're going to play a video for you in a second. But I want you to listen to a couple of verses in Psalms 127. Now, I want to tie this together. Verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh in vain. Waketh in vain, I'm sorry. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up to late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now listen how this ties together. Now listen. Except the Lord build the house. Now pay attention. Verse 3. Lo, the children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is a man that has his quiver full of them. Now wait a minute. Except the Lord build the house, and children are the heritage of the Lord. How's those tied together? The foundation of the home and a nation must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. You understand that? So it ties together a building of a house and a city and a nation on the children that you're given to raise as his prodigy on earth. Do you know that you parents are the ones that teach your children? Not the school teacher, not the pastor, not anybody. You are accountable to teach your children the things of God and the ways of this world in a Christian way. Now let's go to Proverbs. We're waiting until you get that video set up. Proverbs chapter 13. Excuse me, my nose running, folks. Can't help it. Something in there's got me a little bit of allergies acting up. Proverbs 13. Let's look at one verse. Verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now I want to just stop here a second. Look at the first part of that verse. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That's talking about, of course, material things. And a good man does try to leave something back for his children and for his grandchildren. But it's more than material possessions. A good man leaves an inheritance or a heritage to his children to pass on to the grandchildren. Isn't that just common sense? And what you do as a parent influences your children, your grandchildren, and who knows how many generations after that. And so it can be cursings or it can be blessings. How many watching today and how many in this room here today have seen both out of families, cursing and blessing both?
Mm-hmm. How many of us have had it happen to us?
Exactly. Now, if you're passing blessings to your children and it goes on to your grandchildren, praise God to that. Praise Him every day and try to keep that moving. But if you have been on the other side where you've been given a curse as a child, you break that curse in the name of Jesus. You change that. In your home, you rear your children in the fear of the admonition of God and teach them His ways. You break that curse for your grandchildren and children's children. Leave an inheritance for your children, folks, that's unchangeable, though Satan may hate it. Leave that for your children's children's children.
So you keep the gospel going.
Amen. Phil, tell me when you got it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. True story. Now, I want you to listen. This come out of a supposed Christian family. I'm not going to name any names. I know these people. And they come and they still think they're living a Christian life. A young teenager grew up in a home where the mom and dad got divorced. And the mom married a female husband. So this young man was being reared in a home of two mommies. He was kicked out of the home. I don't know all the reasons for it. Probably rebellion is part of it. I mean, what has he learned that's normal already in that home? How's that young man understand really what's right and wrong being reared by two sexual deviants? So he's kicked out of the home, went to live with his dad and stepmom, both of which he witnessed drinking and getting drunk. And I thought to myself, what a damnable influence these so-called parents are having on this young man. What a hellish, damnable way to bring forth a child in this world and turn loose in society and expect him to do what's right. This is a curse of a nation that's forgotten God. The curse is passed down from parents to grandchildren, the grandchildren to great-grandchildren. In Hosea 4, 6, it says, my people torch lack of night. It goes on to say that because you forgot me, I'll forget your children. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? Is it making sense to you? Feel you got that yet? If you can't, it's all right. Don't worry about it. Can't find it. It's a little short video. I want to just show you something that was unbelievably sweet. It brings joy to my heart. But this example I just told you is the actual example of what's happening in a young man's life. It is partly my job, if I'm ever around that young individual, to try to teach this young man the right ways of God. But when you see this being done to young people, Kelly, if it doesn't make you angry, there's something wrong with you. And in today's society, what makes it even sadder is the society accepts it, but beyond that, the churches condone it. And I get angry about that, Joe.
Well, what they tolerate today, we'll embrace tomorrow.
That's exactly right.
We're embracing what we tolerated yesterday.
Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. Oh, my goodness. How did we get in this mess, Kelly?
We didn't get in the mess. The church got into the mess.
A nation that was one time founded in the 1600s on the Word of God by men and women who were true believers. At one time, America was a theocracy.
Yes.
It wasn't a republic. Certainly wasn't a democracy. It's a theocracy. The Pilgrims and Puritans did not meet to set up legislatures to tax and harass the people. They set up legislatures to make sure that the laws of God were being upheld in their communities.
We are set up for each man to be sovereign in his own kingdom.
Yeah, and under the laws of God, yes. Mm-hmm. There's only one true sovereign, that's God himself.
Right.
But something happened. Even before our nation was really founded in the late 1700s, our nation started falling away from God. Humanistic values started coming in. One of our very founding documents, called the Constitution, took away the requirement to be a Christian hold office, which is required in the Word of God. And the founders knew that. The ones that started this country knew that. The Pilgrims knew this. They cannot be elected to office. It was in their doctrines, in their Constitution of the state, that you could not hold office unless they were born again believers in Christ. By 1789, they've taken that out of that. I wonder if that could be an undermining of the foundation of America, even back then.
Well, today in government, you're not allowed to be a Christian. If you show your Christian colors in government...
You're pretty much kicked out, aren't you?
Yeah, they'll come against you. That's Republican and Democrat.
In Proverbs 20, verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. What is integrity, Liam?
Honesty.
Yeah.
Righteousness, honesty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all a word that covers it all. The just man, read the words. The just man walketh his integrity. His children are blessed after him. How does that work? What do the children see in a just daddy? Righteousness, humility, patience, kindness, meekness, all the virtues of the Holy Spirit. And the children are blessed because they see that and follow his example. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, what you're seeing too is daddy is being truthful. daddy's being an honorable man. Children know when parents are not honorable.
That's very true.
Children know when parents are being deceiving and deceptive. Children know when parents are not being the parent they should be. Children know those things.
Well, I know in the position that Lee in the field was in for years, and Lee and Stu is school teachers, that they have to see things happening in children's homes that just tear the heart out. And if they say anything about it, they're ostracized because they took a stand for what's right.
Most of them don't have a home.
That's the sad part, yes. And it's go to Proverbs 17. If you'll forget that, just let me know. Proverbs 17. Look at one verse there. Now please, in the name of God, listen to these scriptures. If you're a parent today, or if you know someone who is, who would need to hear this lesson, please share it with them. I want to tell you, I want to listen very carefully. You don't get a second chance to raise your children. You get one shot at it. And only by God's grace did I do somewhat of a decent job, because I had no idea what I was doing a lot of times. I knew the moral values, I knew what to teach, but I didn't understand the depth and the width and the breadth of what I was trying to get into them was so important from the Word of God. Only by His grace and His mercy did what I did, that what I planted, did take some root in them.
Got it.
Okay, I'm going to read this verse, and I'm going to play a clip for you. In Proverbs 17, please listen to this. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Children's children are the crown of old men. And I don't just say, I mean, it should say men and women, because both of them are godly. Should be godly. And the glory of the children are their fathers. The grandmas and grandpas. Their moms and dads. Can you understand? Does it sink in what I just read to you? My grandchildren should be a crown, not to me in the sense of glory and glorifying me, but as a reward for what I try to teach my children. Is that fair, Phil? When I see my great grandson bow his head at grace at table, that does something inside me that I just can't explain. When my grandson called me and talked about Bible, it blesses me. When my son, basically my middle son calls and asks questions about Scripture, it blesses me. To have my granddaughter call and talk to his mamma, her mamma, and share memories of growing up around the house, mamma and papa's house, it's a blessing. It's a crown to me. And their mamma. And I pray that I am a blessing to my children's children. Is that good enough, Phil? I want you to watch this short video. I'm asking to play it through twice. I want you to watch this. If this doesn't bring joy to your eye and to your heart, there's something wrong.
The birds and the trees. Well, I guess you say, what can make me feel this way, my girl? Talking about my girl. The birds in the trees. Well, I guess you say, what
how many of y'all got a blessing out of that side of me? Doesn't it make you want to pick her up and love her? Doesn't it make you want to hug her and just love her and you give the mommy a hug for doing that? Oh my. We got to get back to this. Proverbs 22, verse 6. I pray that mommy, I like to think she's a believer in Christ, born again, and going to pass on that young girl what it means to be a young lady. Oh, how things have changed in my lifetime. How things have changed in my lifetime. It breaks my heart to grow up in a society where young girls were expected to be young girls and young boys were young men and they're supposed to act like it. Something's happened to society. Society didn't change because of the children. Society changed because of the parents.
Yeah. Yes.
And society changed because the parents were not taught in the churches how to be parents. Somebody had to be the standard bearer to keep America on the right track. Christ was the standard. The church was supposed to be the standard bearer, but the church has dropped that standard so far down. That's below, it's below, beneath contempt.
It's like ratings. You have to take a shovel and dig them up to see how far the ratings are going.
Exactly. Exactly. So, in Proverbs 22, look at one verse there. In verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. From my own children's lives, from experiences of my own life, to what I've seen in the real world, I've seen this come about. And I don't think my middle son would mind me sharing this with you. My middle son took a lot after his mommy's side of the family. He's hard-headed. He had brown eyes. So did she. But anyway, he was rebellious as a young man. Not me, not doing drugs, not drinking, not doing nothing, nothing like that. But rebellious. He ran into a lot of brick walls and was too hard-headed and stubborn to understand that what was trying to warn him about was going to happen. Now, I'm telling this to my own son, so he doesn't mind, I'm sure. He would tell you the same thing. And he said, Daddy, all the time I was doing these things, what you taught me come back to me. That means his conscience being played. See, what you told me, I knew I was doing things wrong. And I wasn't comfortable in it. And I thank God he wasn't comfortable in it. Went through a lot of different situations. And finally, by the grace of God, he was in a car wreck, almost killed. But only after I said a prayer, it was one of the hardest prayers I prayed in my life. It's in the Bible, folks, the book of Corinthians, free for yourself. I had to give his body with the devil so his soul might be saved. Father, I said, I can't reach him. He's not listening to anything I'm saying. I can't reach him. I'll ask you to take free control and do what you must do to reach him. You know how hard it was to pray that? Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, I was sitting in the front room of the house. And the phone rang. It was Martin, my wife's sister, Robin. And before she said much of anything, I said to Marcia, it's Jamie in it. He was in a car wreck. Had ribs punctured, lung, different things in the car wreck. And he was crying out for Daddy. They had to take the jaws of life come out of the car. By the time we got there, he's already in the ambulance going to the hospital. Up until this time, he was cocky. I don't care if I do die. I don't care. And he went through some situations in life that made him kind of upset. I don't. By the time I got to the hospital, his attitude had changed. He said, Doctor, am I going to die? And the doctor said, no, not unless you get a whole lot worse than I'm going to die. He said, I don't want to die. As hard as it was to see that, that was the beginning of the turnaround of my son's life to come back to Christ. And now he's seeking God harder every day and praising God for what he's seen in his own children and now his grandchildren. Train up a child in the way he must go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That doesn't mean he won't take some side trips and get hammered in the head a little bit but he'll come back. Bill, is that good?
Mm-hmm.
You want to add anything?
How can you add to that? No.
I mean, these are promises God made me in his book and applies to you too. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If all you're concerned about as a parent is leaving your children an earthly inheritance of wealth or whatever, I'm going to tell you right now, material things will damn you. Mm-hmm. If your heart's not right, Christ, Phil Hudock, they become your idols, do they not?
Denzel Washington was saying it's dangerous when you're at the top, when things are going good.
Yep. That's why it tied in so good, the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God for that. I mean, that was, folks, that gave me goosebumps. Our father knew what he's doing, even though Phil didn't know what he's doing. So,
thank you, Bush. I appreciate that.
But it is amazing to me that people are, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to leave the children an inheritance. But a lot of times that just damns the children. You need to plant the seed and grow your children in Christ and find and get them firmly rooted in something other than this world and what's in themselves. No man or no woman can build a firm foundation without Jesus Christ being. Fame will destroy you. Don't believe me? Ask Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, and others you can name. Fame will take you down. People say, well, if you just give me famous, well, I had a deal the other day, and I'm saying before God humbly, it would get me crying a minute. He said, Pastor Butch, you're famous cross country. I don't know about that, and I don't care. I don't want to be famous across country as far. I don't care if you know the name, but I don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm glorifying my Father, that's all I care about. I don't care about things in this world as far as wanting more and more for myself. And I understand no one in here doesn't want to like to take a nice vacation once in a while or be able to pay the bills with ease once in a while. I mean, I'm talking about me personally. I have sometimes it gets so tougher to pay bills. Had to order four tires for my car. I took half of my retirement check. I mean, this does affect me. But folks, this is not what makes life worth living. Life worth living is laying your head on a pillow at night, knowing that you're okay with your Creator. And look into the eyes of a little child and feel the love of Christ for that child. In Proverbs, or Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is what it says. I didn't write this. This is what it says. Now, parents, pay attention. Well, I'll pass my children off to the school system. They'll teach them how to read and write. No, not much they won't. They'll teach them a lot of things. That isn't hardly one of them anymore. They'll teach them a lot of things that they shouldn't be in. Well, you saw the video of the 1974 school book rebellion right here in West Virginia. What they taught then was very mild to the day when they feel.
Oh, yeah. No comparison.
No comparison. But that wasn't the beginning of it. That was a huge seed implanted in 1974.
Oh, yeah.
To bring us where we are today.
Even the miners picketed with,
oh, they did.
With the parents.
Yes, yes.
And the pastors, and a lot of them got arrested. And we see the police state there. We see socialism, atheism in the schools. It was sad.
And it shows that the right side finally backed away. Finally backed away.
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but in talking to Gene, who was a friend of mine, and he was detained by the police, okay? But he did say a whole lot of people left public education in Kanawha County and went into private schools. So the private schools had a rebirth, and of course, what we see right now is public education is losing and Christian and private education is gaining. So, that was a preview of what's happening right now, actually.
And a minor preview of what's happening right now. But listen to what's said in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now listen to what's being told to the people of God. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you may do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. What did you say? Who's going to, your children, and your children's children need to know these things. Mm-hmm. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God thy fathers hath promised thee, the land that floweth of milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Boy, have we failed that one. And these words which I command these days shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them in the public schools and in the churches and all across the country. Let them take care of your children, right? Don't say it, does it, Phil? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, you're to teach the children godly virtues and morals, not just by word, but by deed. How long? 24/7. Mm-hmm. Yes, Bill.
Yeah, something to think about. It's a known fact that most Christians who walk away from the faith do that in college. Mm. College, most of them are going to public education.
Very true. Okay?
And they're severed from their family at that point. So now they only hear one side. You follow me? You know,
I do.
Go off to college, you're not in the house anymore. You're in the public sector where they have you pretty much 24/7.
Like the lady said on the school text, that when children are in school, when they don't go along with the rest of the class, they're laughed at. My parents said, I can't read that. I can't partake in that. They're ostracized by the classes, by the other classmates, aren't they? That's tough on a child, is it not? Mm-hmm. When you send them off to college, they may be young adults, but they're still influenced by the peers, are they not? Mm-hmm. Unless they're rooted and grounded strongly in Christ, it will eat them alive. I've seen that happen. You've seen it happen. Folks, it's up to the parent to have the wisdom and the moral discipline to teach the children what they need to do, and as long as they're under your house, your roof, to see that it's done the right way as much as possible. Your rules in your home, if they're godly rules, are to be obeyed. And this is not an option. In my home, it was not an option. I think I'm a pretty good parent. Although at times I wanted to sell my children, I never thought about killing too much. But in my home, there were rules set that we had to follow. You know, and the corniest things, I mean, our coffee table was our altar every morning before we went off to different ways. We all said a little prayer. Isn't that really weird, Phil? And TV, we allowed an hour and a half a night. Shows like Andy Griffith and some other things they did watch. We didn't watch the TV because there was homework to be done and more things to do than watch TV. Now, they'll tell you this. They didn't go to movies. And their relatives would say, well, you're going to grow up hating your parents. They're really messing you up. Now, I put them in Christian school and homeschooled them. Ooh, you thought I just declared war on the family. Well, they're not getting any kind of social life. Social life? Drugs? Sex? Drinking? No, I don't think so. I'll have them keep them here. And if you ask about three boys, they'll probably tell you I ruined their lives. So you see, because now they're trying to walk in righteousness. And that's God's glory. But let me tell you, when you stand against the world's going to hate you. Your own family's going to mock you and laugh at you. They're going to tell you that you're insane. Your children's grandparents may think you're nuts.
But Denzel said that's an opportunity.
It is an opportunity. It is. But Phil, this isn't always easy.
No.
Let me finish reading these last two verses in Deuteronomy 6. Now what? I'm going to read this. This my comment. And thou shalt bind them what? Bind what? TV channels or the latest styles? No, the word of God, right? Mm-hmm. Thou shalt bind his commandments and statutes as a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. In other words, everywhere you go all day long, you will see my commandments and my judgments and my statutes, and you obey them and teach children to do the same thing. How far are we fallen from that standard? How far have we fallen from that standard?
Very far.
By the way, phone line's open. If you want to call, please feel free to call. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to reverse gears now. I laid for you enough foundation already on how you should be rearing your children that there should be no question as to what, Matthew 18, I'm sorry, as to what's being said very clearly here. The duty to raise my children is not in the hands of a school teacher or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or anybody else. It's in my duty. It's my duty. It's in my hands. We would have Bible studies at the house around the dinner table. We'd have Christian history lessons. I'm not bragging on me. This is what we done around the house dinner table. And it really thrilled me sometimes when one of the boys said, "Daddy, can I teach the next lesson?" Really touched my heart. And no matter how much they didn't understand or didn't know, it touched my heart that they wanted to try. And I want to tell you how young they were when I started. My youngest son, Patrick, bless his heart. He's just tall enough, his head just barely above the table ledge.
Okay.
And I was talking about Christ being the Son of God. And Christ is the sun. He said, "Daddy, if Christ is the sun, is God the moon?" That's how young he was. I mean, he was listening. He really was. But I'm just saying, folks, these are memories that I have of my three sons that in my mind are still young to me and still my sons. And by grace of God, some good things come out of the families, and they also facing trials themselves. But I want you to understand something. Now pay attention to me. I'm going to read to you something Christ said. I didn't say it. That if we do not follow his instruction on raising our children, we are going to destroy those children's lives. Mm-hmm. And except by divine intervention, we may have planted a seed that will take those children to hell. We may have planted a seed that will destroy our grandchildren's lives. And Christ said something here that we should be very concerned about. Now pay attention to what he said. If we offended one of our children by false teachings and by living a life like a hellion, we offended our children to the point of damnation, this is what he says to us. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, were better for him they have millstone were hanged about his neck, they were drowned in the depth of the sea." Mm-hmm. He saw the little baby being sung to by mommy. And do you realize the power is in your hands as parents to take a mind that's going to be molded by what you say? A soul is going to be shaped by what you teach them. And a character in that individual that's going to be conformed to what you've taught your children in the future. Phil, how important is that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that?
I got to see a video of my granddaughter doing her nightly prayers and praying for her grandfather and grandmother. and to see her praying and knowing that that's being instilled in her just touches your heart.
It uplifts your spirit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But then to know that other children are not having that breaks your heart too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. We are our brother's keepers.
We certainly are. Now, Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to cover a few topics and we're going to get very close. Maybe a little earlier today. Tickle people to death. I got here early. Genesis chapter 19. first book in the Bible, but I can't get the right chapter. I'm getting there. By the way, I want to show you something, if you don't mind, just a second. I can find it very quickly here. In my Bible that I carry everywhere I go, on the top right-hand page, you see a picture of a couple people.
Mom and Dad.
And on the other side, you see a picture of Dad a few years later, right before he passed away.
Wow.
We were sitting at the steakhouse, some of you, when this picture is taken. Mom died of cancer not too long after that. So why did I carry that picture with me? Because I remember my mom and dad. And I remember that they were not perfect parents, but they didn't do too bad a job, I don't think, trying to teach what's right and wrong to the children. And Mom did not believe in sparing the rod either. There now. In Genesis chapter 19, by the way, the Bible says if you spare the rod, you hate your child. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say spoil them, says you hate them. Genesis chapter 19, let's look at verse 1. I want to show you now what happens to a society that forgets God. Let me just share a couple things very quickly, if I could, before getting into that chapter. It's gotten so bad now in this nation that our young people who join the military are now given citations if they get an award that they don't use the name, that they don't use the words himself or herself or him or her. They use the word themselves to say themselves won the award. Now he did or she did. Yeah.
They're being programmed.
They're being programmed. Okay. Now I'm showing this because I want to make a point here. There's an actor, I had no idea who he is. I didn't know his name even until I read this. Ethan Hawke is a daddy of a young girl here named Maya. Ethan Hawke was so comfortable directing graphic sex scenes of his daughter Maya.
What?
Uh-oh. What?
Uh-oh. Sick. That's
beyond sick.
That's abuse. Beyond abuse.
He's getting praised for it.
Oh, my.
Should be on a sexual predator list.
Yeah, exactly. Los Angeles schools host LGBTQ Rainbow Club for children as young as 5.
Oh, my golly.
I'm bringing this up just about. I'm going to make a point here a minute, folks.
Well, raise a child up the way they're doing. They'll follow that through their life. So you raise them up as a child, sodomite.
That's right.
They'll be a sodomite all their life.
New York children, New York City child thieves keep targeting bars, leaving owners overwhelmed with thefts. The police can arrest me. I'm just a kid. As young as 18 years old, they're going in and robbing businesses. And the cops can't do anything about it. I won't do anything about it. Now, what happened? How did these children get into condition where they think stealing's okay? What happened?
Their parents. Satan.
Exactly right. Through who? Who was their main influence?
Parents.
Their parents.
Yep. All those years ago, Jerry, his mother sold them for drugs. Remember?
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely, I do.
Sexual favors.
Folks, this is the result of parenting or lack thereof. Now, I just showed you something in public schools. This is a public school principal in Oklahoma. A man.
Oh my God.
That's a nightmare.
That is a nightmare. A superintendent of an Oklahoma school district is calling for the immediate determination of Richie Hart Elementary School principal who performs a drag queen has faced child pornography charges in the past.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to make point of all this in a minute. And for those watching this, if you have children and grandchildren, they need to watch this teaching. Virginia mom sues pro-transgender teachers for pushing her child into prostitution. Get them out of those hellholes. California passes bill to strip parents of custody if they don't affirm child's gender.
Are you saying, Butch, that If my son
says he wants to be called Jenny and be a girl, I have to affirm that?
If you don't, then take him. You notice the difference in the new rainbow flag? I've said before, you notice the difference in the way the colors? That's for pedophilia right there. That V is for pedophilia. DHS, this is the Department of Homeland Security. Department of Homeland Security awards anti-terror grant for LGBTQ group to indoctrinate six-year-olds.
That's your money.
That's our money. The manifesto of its school-based group, which is based on the Black Panthers, calls for the abolition of the police, the erasure of the U.S. border, the reclamation of all stolen land by indigenous people. President Joe Biden, Department of Homeland Security, announced that the Sexual Minority Youth Assistance League had received $530,000 targeted violence and terrorism prevention grant last week. Although the grant is intended to prevent targeted violence and terrorism, the grant synopsis explains that the SMYAL will provide in-school support for LGBTQ plus youth, training for school staff and youth service providers, and resilience programming for LGBTQ youth ages 6 through 24. Major hospital corporation pushing sex change training to three-year-olds.
Ugh. What the heck?
There's a lot of money in it.
There is a lot of money in it.
Which they don't even understand their own gender at that age.
No. A major U.S. hospital corporation has been discreetly pushing sex change training for children as young as 3 years old. An employee at the Kaiser Permanente Hospital has leaked training material from the hospital that promotes the idea that a three-year-old can be transgender. According to the libs of TikTok, the employee who leaked the training material was horrified after reviewing the material. We should remain anonymous for fear of losing your job. The training material is part of the Kaiser Permanente DEI training and contains videos of 3 and 4 year olds explaining how they knew they were transgender at a young age.
No, they don't.
Some young girls wore t-shirts to a 4-H camp in Pierce County Fair in Washington State, and they said on their shirts, "My pronoun is normal."
No.
They were kicked out.
No.
They were kicked out.
That's abnormal.
That is abnormal. And I doubled up on this and didn't know it. This is the same one I showed you before, of the school principal. There he, she is again.
You're not sure, he, she?
I will say what it is, but I sound nasty. I showed you all that to make a point now. Then, of course, the ultimate is this.
Yep.
Now do you understand what God said about cursing a nation? God didn't curse us. We cursed ourselves. Let me show you something. My gosh, we're not time so fast. Golly. All right, very quickly. Phil, I may go a little bit. I'm sorry. I tried to hurry up. This is too important. In Genesis chapter 19, people say the result of forgetting the children commandments on rearing our children is what? In Genesis chapter 19, I'm going to read it all. But you can start reading verse 1 about Lot. The two angels come to see Lot. And he brought them in the home and said, "Spend the night with us." And they did. But before, there, verse 4, before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter come to hit the Lot's house. And why? They wanted to have sex with those two men. Mm-hmm. That's in your Bible. The Sodomites come out and said, "We want those two men. We want to know them."
Right.
That's in the Bible. And the angel struck him blind. But you believe me, this is absolutely stupendous. Said this. The angel says, verse 10, "But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door," that's the angels, "and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door." Even being struck blind, they went after them. They still didn't repent. Both young and old were destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah. Right down to the children were destroyed. Yep. Why? Because they were already damned.
Yep.
Joshua chapter 6 in closing. This makes me angry beyond words. Joshua chapter 6. People look at me and say, well, you mean God judged children too? Yes, even children become reprobate.
Well, he told Moses to go into certain villages and not just to kill the animals, but every man, woman,
and child.
And child and woman that was pregnant.
That's exactly right. People, this is what we've done to our heritage. This is what America has turned into. A modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. And do you not think God will judge us for that? In Joshua chapter 6, they were told to go into Jericho. Now let's look at it very quickly in verse 17. If I can find it real quick here, if I'm in the right place.
Ooh.
No, that's not what it'll be. Excuse me while I find it, okay? I'm sorry.
That's probably it, Joshua 6:17.
I'm on the wrong book, that's why I found it. Okay, thank you. Joshua 6:17. Don't need to get in a hurry, I'm just back to stuff up here. Okay, here we go. And the cities shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab and a harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and troubled. And by the way, they did that. It cost them too. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come unto the treasure of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. The children had become so corrupted by that time that there was no redemption even for the children. And whose fault was that? Folks, this lesson is more important than anything I've taught in many, many, many months. If you are able to influence a child, especially your own children, you don't do it. May God have mercy on your souls. What you're doing to that child, that individual, that eternal soul, you're going to last forever.
And we will be judged for that.
Absolutely. What could be much worse than destroying a child's mind and soul, Phil? What could be much worse than that? Folks, we love you and ran out of time already. We're back with you on the 30th of this month. So bear with us and come back and join us when Pastor Chuck Trismar joins in. Bye-bye.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.